today's reading is taken from Psalms 96. Amen. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all gods of all nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be removed. He will judge the people with equality. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. Amen.
Well, we have the great privilege here of not only looking at Psalm 96, but actually finding out about the latest witness to all the world and singing and doing some of the things that are in it. When I came in, John said to me, I hope there are jokes. So no jokes, I don't do the jokes. But what I thought I would do to get your attention is make a wildly exaggerated claim about my psalm. So my wildly exaggerated claim is, which I think I can substantiate, I think I can back up, is the fact that it is good for you. It is going to be good for your spirit, it's going to be good for your body, and it's going to be good for your mind. So our mental, physical, and spiritual health are all going to be improved by this psalm. I've divided it into these three sections, which, thank you, Chris has been reading for us as we went along. Slightly embarrassed by the excess of W's. Feel that's really only for the professionals and probably decades ago, but still. We have a section which talks about worshipping, a section, if you like, that talks about witnessing, and we've heard some of the latest from the other side of the world. It's all very exciting. And then an opportunity, as we take communion and pray, to watch and wait and think about what God is doing next. So, singing. The blindingly obvious, this is a song. This is recorded here because they sang it. And singing is good for you. There are lots of studies which describe how people in choirs and singing experience better mental health and are more well than others. You might find a study that says this isn't significant, but you won't find any that says it's bad for you. So I would say the overwhelming evidence is, and this is something a lot of people missed, I think, in lockdown, is that singing is good for you. So we're going to benefit. And as Christians, we believe that we were put on this earth in order to worship God. Now, that can mean several things, but I think worship as well means singing to him, extolling to God, telling him what we think of him and what he has done. The psalm starts, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Think big, people. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. There's often a sort of misunderstanding outside church about why, if you like, we worship God. Kind of secular view is a bit sort of, well, if God needed to make us in order to tell him how brilliant he is, then actually that's a bit pathetic, really. He needs us, does he, to keep worshipping? Is he nothing without us? It's kind of a bit like sort of the great people on the internet with all their followers. You know, you're only as big as the number of followers you've got. There's probably lots of other people doing similar things to you, but if you haven't got massive audience following you and doing things, then actually you become nothing. This is a gross misunderstanding of who God is. Their God, to coin an old phrase, is simply way too small. God does not need us to tell us how splendid and amazing he is. He doesn't need us to tell him he created the earth. He was there at the time. He can see it. What he is doing is generously and lovingly revealing himself to us bit by bit and letting us join in and share in the joy and the wonder of what he's done. If we stopped worshipping, he would be sad, but it wouldn't diminish him in any bit. It's not a popularity poll that God feels that he needs to join in with. I'm also claiming that my psalm is particularly significant and important because it's recorded twice in the Bible. I get in there twice. And it is also, most of it is written in 1 Chronicles 16, a book that we have been looking at as a church recently, where it is listed as a song that King David delegated to the priests of the day to sing daily in front of the temple, in front of his tent. He didn't have a temple yet. A tent on a hill, a few miles from Jerusalem itself, and they would sing and worship. Asaph, you can have me up on pronunciation later. Asaph was particularly delegated to be in charge of this, and it is recorded that he played the cymbals. Aha, I thought, maybe for historical accuracy, I should get hold of some cymbals and offer to join John's band. And I imagine myself suggesting this to John, and I could see his kind of quizzical smile, and then from his lips came the word, nah. So I thought, maybe. And maybe my idea of the kind of biggest cymbals that you could get is not accurate, and these were kind of little things. I don't know. But I think my point is that worship and music sounds different to different people in different places in different times. There are tunes that we know and love and mean a lot to him. There are tunes that they will sing the other side of the world, in Taiwan and in China, maybe in choir in their own heads. And they're all totally different. The type of music that God welcomed David producing may be unrecognizable as music to us. But what God repeatedly says is what matters is the attitude of our hearts. So you have been spared my cymbal playing. But what matters is how we respond to God when we come to tell him who he is. So our next section was about witness. Why about witness? Because this psalm does not think small. This psalm does not say, sing to the Lord if you're in a little church in Northwood Hills or wherever. It says, this is a job for the whole earth. This is a job for every nation, all the families of nations. And increasingly, those families of nations are getting mixed up throughout the world to praise God. I thought ascribe was an interesting word. I don't often go to a dictionary. That's not because I know the meanings of loads of words. It's because I'm basically lazy. But ascribe means to give God credit for something or assign him something. So it's not a scribe, someone who writes something. But a scribe, in the point of view, we say, yeah, that book or that song, that hymn was written by so-and-so. We associate them. We give them the credit for having produced and done this. So what we are doing is giving God the credit, acknowledging where he stands. It talks about everybody giving God the glory and offering in themselves to him. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. So it's not just about the singing, it's about the other things that we do. Coming into his courts, gathering together, or if that were illegal, coming into God's presence in the peace of our own homes in privacy. This sort of witness isn't talking about buttonholing some stranger and giving them a tract and telling them something. It's about living our lives as if we owe God everything, acknowledging his place and how we live it. And the good news is this will do us good, because living for God, he has promised us life in all its fullness. That the life we lead, having given it over to him, will be good. The phrase, all the families of nations, is actually also used, but translated differently. When God made his original promises to Abraham, before the Jewish people had even got going, he talked about blessing, through him and his word, all the peoples on earth. So all the peoples is actually the same word as used for all the families of nations, or however you want to describe it. But it's again laying out quite clearly that all peoples of whatever position in a family, of whatever nation they come from, of whatever nationality or people group they belong to, that they are all equal, and God wants to bless them through the word that he gave through Abraham, and then obviously on to Jesus coming for everybody. So we have here blessings. Blessings from God can only be good for us. Am I winning yet? This psalm will be good for us. I do try, when I look at a passage, not to dodge the tricky bits. At least I do try. It really annoys me when, you know, there's a passage and I read it, I think, ooh, that verse is a bit, not sure what that means. And then whoever's speaking will skirt over that bit. Doesn't happen much here, I have to say. It says, say to the nations, so we're thinking of everybody, the Lord reigns. And I think, well, what do I actually mean by that? Can I say the Lord reigns? And again, the world will come back at us and go, well, if God reigns, what about this war, this famine, COVID, death? What about, you know, how can you say he is reigning and yet everything isn't going perfectly for everybody? We do have to go back to his original statement, which is blessing those who bless his word and cursing those who don't. So he didn't promise plain sailing. And I had to go back to the dictionary. Oh, it's a bit sad, isn't it? Twice in a week. Back to the dictionary. What does reigning mean? And reigning doesn't actually refer to sort of being a puppeteer and minutely controlling everything. To reign is actually to have the power and the authority and the ability, if you like, and the right to be the ruler. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they are enforcing it all the time. I mean, a very poor example is our queen has rights that she probably wouldn't dare use because they'd promptly be taken away. But technically, she is the ruler, and there are things that she could do if she chose to. And it's kind of like that with God, I think. He has the authority, he has the power, he has the status, the ability. And acknowledging that makes our lives healthier and happier, but it doesn't mean that he's going to, at the moment, intervene with everything. So we come to the watching and waiting. The very end of this psalm talks about the best being yet to come. There are kind of two aspects about this. It talks about nature also wanting to praise God. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound, all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. And so actually, there are words that we describe for God that I think we might quite often ascribe to a really amazing place in nature. And when we think an amazing place, we think of somewhere untouched, generally, don't we? It's like not spoilt by people. We say it's majestic. We say this is marvelous. We say, you know, this is splendid. This is incredible. So we can further improve our health in all departments if we spend more time listening to nature saying, this is how amazing and how good God is. His creation. And then finally, there is the light at the end of the tunnel, if you like. That promise that what we all need, and many scientists would agree, that we need for our own peace of mind, for our mental health, is hope. Hope at the end that there will be fairness, that there will be justice, that there will be a time that God has promised when there will be no more tears, no more dying, and no more pain. And that will be as a result of when God decides to take up that power that he has all along and truly be in charge, to truly reign and be present on all the earth. So we can sing about the truth of God. We can live out his promises and claim his blessings by putting him in control of our lives. We can enjoy the fact that nature reflects just how amazing God is and that there is a hope for the future. A psalm to do us all good. So we come before our Lord. We thank you, God, that you turn up, that you come wherever you are wanted. And we say, Lord, that we want you here. We want you in our lives, and we want you present in this place. We thank you that all the earth rejoices in you, Lord. And we pray that we would listen to nature, that we would see your splendor and your majesty, and that we would take our responsibilities seriously. And finally, Lord, we thank you that you reign. We thank you that you have the power to do this, and we offer you control of our lives. Although we don't always choose to do the things that are best for us, we pray that we would see more of you in the coming week. Amen.